Weekend Breakfast with Refilo and Pakanyane on 702.
So, we're asking the question, does your job create tension at home? Knowing how the conditions of some jobs can be damaging to a relationship, we decided to take a look at how to navigate those difficulties. And of course, you know, try to ensure the health of our relationships. It could range from anything that I mentioned, either being a chef, for instance, being a journalist. You're always on call, you're traversing, you're following politicians on the campaign trail, going from province to province. You might be a cop, right? That's another profession that seems incredibly high stress. What we're unpacking this morning is how your work, your chosen careers can affect your relationships. And of course, helping us navigate this whole gambit of issues and concerns is our clinical psychologist, Kosi Giane. Good morning, Kosi. I trust you're well today.
I am awesome, well, Cecilia. And how well are you this morning?
I'm well. No complaints.
Great.
I mean, I'm even looking at a list. Some thoughtful magazine has sought to compile the list of 15 worst jobs for a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you can only imagine that this absolutely is a real thing. Nurses and home health aides are mentioned in that list. Entertainers and performers are mentioned in that list. It really goes on. Bartenders are mentioned in that list. Not only do you have to work long, crazy hours and only leave when, you know, your last client leaves, or in some instances, when COVID regulations mean you shut down. But, you know, you also have to be very friendly and flirt with your customers for those tips, I guess, if that's how you go about it as a bartender.
Indeed.
But there are all sorts of jobs that affect your relationships and create tensions at home, Kosi. When you know you are in this profession, how do you mitigate, I guess, the fallout and the effects? Because it's quite different when a relationship is starting out versus when we've settled into, I guess, our roles and the fact that we're doing this, right? Why is that the case?
Yep. Well, I guess on the one hand, I'm going to start off kind of on a back foot that says, you know, there's really no perfect career relationship combo as such. So it's perhaps a matter of degrees, and of course, you know, the defining moment being how we navigate all of that. Because as much as we could say, you know, some jobs are demanding people be more out there than they are present in the relationship, there's something also to be said about distance makes the heart grow fonder. You know, so it's not just the presence itself, but it's the absence, but more the quality of it.
Okay.
And what we make with what we have on our plate, so to speak.
Yeah. What do you mean by the quality of that absence, or perhaps even quality of the presence that influences or determines how the relationship is impacted?
Yeah, so an interesting dynamic exists between relationships and careers or jobs, right? In the sense that they need each other.
Of course.
Because if you don't have that job or career, you could be very much at home for 24 hours. That's going to have a knock-on effect on the relationship itself. Right. It's going to start to erode, perhaps, the relationship. So it is important to, it's not one or the other. We are talking about balance between these two, right? And I'm just saying that it is about how do we become present. So look, there's jobs that have got to be done, and people that feel called to those jobs with all that they come with, or being kind of forced to without choice. You know, you talk about people at restaurants, and I mean, it often, I feel so guilty. I remember the one time, you know, we go to a restaurant and we enjoy ourselves. We forget that, you know, what saddened me is when we drove out in our cars and people were standing out in the street waiting for transport to go home.
Yes.
That has just, made quite a huge impact on me in terms of thinking about those sorts of things. So what I'm saying is, you know, some people kind of are forced to be in those sorts of positions, right? But also equally, if they don't have those positions, their situations will be even worse.
Sure.
So it's a very tight rope to walk.
How do you set a horizon and one that's practical, that's enforceable, or one that you can live up to? How do you create that sort of horizon of expectations in a partner and a potential partner that, yes, we are in the initial throes of passion and excitement and the pheromones of pheromoning, and yeah, we're just flush with love and adoration, right, in the first couple of months. But there's going to be a time where here I am, I'm the chef at this restaurant, I own this restaurant, or I am a trauma surgeon. And there'll be times where I just don't have the adrenaline of the excitement of the start of a relationship to make me go above and beyond, right, when it comes to seeing you or being with you. And I'll be tired and I'll be grumpy.
Sure.
Because we're slipping into our everyday roles. How do you set that horizon of expectations? And do you find that that's the actual killer when it comes to relationships and high stress careers, that we haven't told a person that it's not going to be like this always? It can't be.
Yeah. I guess, you know, it comes back to relationship is conversation, and it's ongoing conversation, right? Because it's one thing to say, oh, my partner is a surgeon, as you say, trauma surgeon, and it looks all fantastic and it's so romantic and all of that. But there's also a reality of what that means on a daily, right? And what that means for your relationship with each other. And you're going to learn as you go along, because the concept is one thing, but the lived reality of what that means is different. And more so if, for example, you work in a very 9-to-5 kind of environment, so your life is predictable.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you are in a relationship with someone who's the exact opposite of your life. And all that's going to mean for your relationship is that you need to talk more. You need to be aware. You cannot take things for granted that, look, we'll see each other in the afternoon, because that may not happen, right? So you need to be more deliberate in the moments that you do have with each other compared to people who can take it for granted that we finish at 5, we'll be home at 6:30 sort of thing, or whatever the time is, and we've got the evening, you know, and even tomorrow it's going to be the same. So yours is different. So you got to create your own schedule that works for you, or that you got to negotiate with each other on an ongoing basis, more so than other people who can take those things for granted.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Give us a call on 011-883-0702 and, you know, give us a sense of how you've been able to have that conversation or be intentional in your relationship. If your work is high pressure, if your work keeps you away from home for long, and if, you know, your hours are unpredictable as well, how have you negotiated all of that? Because as Corsi was saying, you know, it sounds nice to say, yeah, my girl's a trauma surgeon, you know, and a few years, months in, you start feeling resentful that actually you don't, she doesn't give you the attention or the time that you would like, right? How have you negotiated that? Or perhaps the shoe's been on the other foot. It's really, really key and really, really interesting, Corsi, that actually what you're saying is fundamentally the things that attract us and even excite us to begin with, the fact that, yeah, he's a bartender and, you know, he'll come over at 12 at night or 1 a.m. or later, and you guys will hang out and have a little makeout session. That's cute at first. Yeah. And then actually you'd rather not have your sleep interrupted. And why can't you see me drink, you know, normal hours of the day? But it is so tangled. It is really, really tangled.
Yeah.
We've got Stephen from Midrand on the line, Corsi. Welcome to the program, Stephen. Your job requires you to study a lot. Tell us about your situation.
Yes, I'm a software engineer. I'm a programmer. And so my job, not only studying, but even itself, we work more than 10 hours. Sometimes we go over up to 1 a.m., 2 a.m. On top of that, we can even be studying because there are new features, new modules, a lot of things, actually. So it's a complicated dynamic type of life. I think software developers, they can relate to me.
Yeah.
So my partner is very, very on other angle of life. We are not in the same layer, if I might say. And we do have a really complicated type of relationship. I don't know how the lady can help me to solve it.
Okay. Kosi?
I guess I missed some of the sound isn't coming through clearly. But I guess for me, the curiosity would be, how have you structured your relationship so far, Stephen? How long are you in the relationship and what has kept it intact so far? Or where are you finding yourselves with each other at this stage?
We are now 4 years in a relationship. She's an economist. So she's not as study savvy as I am, or I don't know. She's much think like I'm into other stuff, I'm into other relationships, and I'm lying that I'm studying, or I'm lying that I'm working, and so that's the problem or dynamic that you are currently in.
Sure. Did you get that, Kosi?
No, I'm not hearing him clearly, Lucille, unfortunately.
All right. So Stephen has just said that his partner is an economist, and his worry is that she actually worries or thinks that he might be cheating on her effectively or having other girlfriends because he's studying so much and working so much. And so I guess that flags, you know, a lack of trust there. Sure. And Stephen, if I got this right, I think you said they've been together for 4 years.
4 years, yeah. I think I heard that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess what it means is, you know, how do you integrate your lives in the times that you are able to share with each other? How do you integrate your lives? And I think one of the things perhaps that's a blessing of this time is that boundary between work and our personal life is less than before. Mm-hmm. So the two lives have permeated each other more so now with COVID, so that we are able to work while we can be with our partners more so than when we had to leave the house and be at an office, you know, for however many hours that you needed to be there. And so I think, you know, those are some of the conversations that you will need to have around how do we structure the time that we do have, so that we make sure that it is quality time, and what of each other can you create that still sustains and feeds the relationship when you are apart from each other. And it may mean you need to be more deliberate about expressing your affection for her, assuring her that, you know, you don't lock her out of your life when you do have to be in those 24, you know, in however many hours that you have to be working, but make those moments where you check in on her in between, and it's just going to require you to be more conscious and deliberate in your efforts to assure her that maybe physical presence doesn't mean emotional, psychological, or spiritual absence as well. That you got to just stretch that a bit more in terms of your efforts at staying connected with her.
Yeah. All the best, Stephen, in your relationship, and of course, you know, having those conversations. Kosi, I do wonder, you know, it's often there's I guess a sort of common phrase common wisdom, probably not wisdom, that if you want someone to understand your work situation, understand the stresses of your careers, then, you know, maybe find someone in the same career as you. But in your practice, your experience, does that even always translate into someone understanding, or fundamentally are we just talking about the fact or your ability to convey, as you said, your intentions, your actual emotions, your affections, and most importantly, be present, be in the moment when you see each other, when you are together.
Yeah. I suppose there's something to be said about, ideally then perhaps if you have a shared world, that you are more likely to be more understanding, be able to put yourselves in each other's shoes when required to, than someone who isn't in that world. It's alien to them, it's foreign to them, they don't understand the demands of it and so on, whereas it'll be easier, I guess, if you have that shared space, career space with somebody. Unfortunately, life doesn't always work out that way, you know, and you will, first of all, perhaps may not find those people attractive because perhaps you're looking for something that's different. There is so much of your life you know, that you want, you're looking for something to complement that rather than to duplicate that.
Sure. Okay.
You know, in terms of opposites attracting, mm-hmm. right? So you know, so there's something to be said about that. But there's also something to be said about, sure, you know, how do we go into each other's worlds, make an effort to understand what it means, and take an interest and take a keener interest in your partner's world so that you can be empathetic in your expectations, at least, of what your relationship means and how things will play out in your relationship. And I guess part of the difficulty is we also are surrounded by other people who have got different permutations of relationship, right? And you want, oh, what they have. Look at them. They're always spending time together and we are not.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag couple goals.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, that game of comparison, right? Comparison being the joy of the thief, rather, of joy, is something to keep in mind. Kosi, you know, when it comes to how we prioritize the limited time that we do have, do couples and people in this scenario also find themselves juggling with that, or rather getting that wrong? As in, I find all my self-worth in my work and my job, and so beyond that initial flush of the excitement of the relationship, where I go to sustain myself emotionally, intellectually, is the job. And perhaps you actually, as a partner, aren't the priority.
Yeah, and the opposite may equally be so. You know, that your life revolves around you being coupled with so-and-so and being this inseparable pigeon pair, so to speak, right? Whereas for someone else, their needs may be different in terms of what they're looking for in a relationship and how much kind of intimacy and attention they require, because sometimes people may not have the same needs, you know, for relationality. Mm-hmm. Whereas, for example, as you're saying, you know, someone else may find more meaningfulness to their lives through their work than someone who finds it more through relationship. And again, we go back to the same drawing board around being able to understand each other and being able to stand aside from yours and be able to see through the other person's perspective, and being able to then take that in assessing what that means for the relationship. And perhaps, you know, that is not always a straight line, that it will change, that the demands will change. At a certain age, you may be looking for one thing, because when you're younger, perhaps you are, you know, you're gung-ho about hitting your career milestones and so on, and defining your success as a person. And perhaps at that time, the relationship is secondary to you. Whereas perhaps your female partner may be thinking, the biological clock is ticking, you know, I need to get these things in place and so on, and then I'll sort out the career afterwards.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? So those are two different worlds, and they need to be speaking to each other.
Yeah.
In order to find, and you find that a person who has that high demand in terms of their time from their job is actually, for them, looking for somebody who has the stability, who becomes the other side for them, who provides that stability for them in a world that's otherwise, you know, on a conveyor belt and treadmill all the time. And they're looking for somebody who has that, because it kind of complements their side as opposed to as opposed to more of the same in another.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that conveyor belt or this sort of tireless and endless work, there are some careers and there are some jobs where, you know, the wear and tear and the demands physically on a person just cannot, you can't get around them, right? If that person is a manual laborer, you know, if that person is, goodness, whatever it is, they work at the airport and they're hauling bags for ground transportation for a living. There are some things that can never be gotten around. She's a nurse or he's a nurse, and they're on their feet for tremendously long stretches of time. Yeah. There's nothing, you can't work around it.
There's
no
getting around that. There's no getting away from that, right? That is the isness of this person's life and perhaps their chosen path. career path in life, and maybe they love what they're doing with all that it comes with. And I guess what it means is that you then got to, on both sides, understand that it's going to have certain implications for the relationship that you want. And it means you need to figure out a way, if there's whatever it is that you want from the relationship, what it's going to mean or spell out for your own permutation of dynamics in that relationship between the two of you. And some people kind of, I guess, at some point perhaps have to make peace with the fact that my world may not work for somebody who needs this, that, and the other.
Mm.
Or the priority that I attach to my job will not work for a woman perhaps who needs a man who is there all the time for them. And you need to make peace with that, because we pay a price either way.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be clear about the price that you're willing to pay.
Sure. Yeah. I think it always,
that's
there's always,
tough, yeah,
that's the tough one. There's always that moment of when we use, you know, terms like, well, what's the trade-off? When we apply terms like that, yeah, to relationship, and someone, yeah, might think, wow, that seems a bit, that sounds mercenary. That sounds calculated, yeah, or calculating,
yeah,
right? Because we don't, yeah, want to say there's an opportunity cost to everything. But yeah, what I hear you saying is, but you need to evaluate that.
It comes down to that. Mm. It does come down to that. And it is about be real. So people don't go into a relationship with what your fantasy is, because you're relating with your fantasy. Relate with your reality, because all you're doing is setting yourself up for failure.
Mm. Of course, if we generally kept our wits about us going into the relationship, I think we'd avoid a lot of pain, Kosi. But of course, there's always the opportunity. Every day is an opportunity to reassess,
yep,
and to,
indeed,
make your decision again and again, or to say, okay,
yeah,
how do we fix this, right?
Sure. And you know, you can do it proactively, and it's not a once-off again, as I said. It's not a once-off. Do it proactively and continue to do it, you know, through the life of your relationship. And if I can't be present at this, that, and the other, how do I then make it up to my partner, mm-hmm, when I am available, that I am really present? You know, I'm just reminded as I'm speaking now, a friend of mine who had registered for an MBA said that somebody in their class actually shared with them that he had a contract with his wife that says, "You will not divorce me while I'm doing my MBA. It's going to require a lot of time and so on. Let's have a contract,
yeah,
that says, give me 3 years to do this.
Yeah.
And what are the minimums?" And they actually wrote it down. And as mercenary as it sounds, as cold, as calculating as it sounds, it's a much better calculation than the calculation afterwards, when there's that resentment and people are not talking to each other and end up, you know, things falling apart.
Yeah.
When you could have proactively had that conversation, as uncomfortable as it is, it's better to rather have it than not to, because either way, it's going to come down to that you're going to pay the price for it.
I'm chuckling because my producer wrote quite a few minutes ago when we were talking to Stephen, saying, you know, they say an MBA is a fast track to breakups. And I guess Stephen is in the same situation.
Yeah,
pretty hectic, very, very hectic. Let's, mm-hmm, take a final call from Eugene in Boxburg and, you know, find out what his experience is, or perhaps he's got a question for you. Eugene, thank you so much for calling in. Your question for Kosi, please go ahead.
Morning. I'm Eugene from Boxburg. Yes, I totally agree with Mom Gianni.
Mm-hmm.
I am in health sector myself. I log long hours. I don't have a specific time that I say I knock off. But as soon as I got that moment, I make sure that I cover all those hours that I've missed with my family.
Mm.
As I speak now, the whole week, I was at work. I was making off around 10, 11. I make sure that this weekend, today I was supposed to be at church, I didn't go trying to make sure that I gave my family that time that I missed throughout the week. So yes, we work at a different sector, but you still have to make time for your partner, make her feel special, make her feel important in her life, not your career and then her.
Mm. And what does that do for you too, Eugene?
Sorry?
What does that do for you as the other partner in the relationship?
No, it keeps the vibe. It keeps the happiness. It keeps the, you know, it keeps our love going, because you can tell that even if I am always busy at work, but I do miss her, I do think of her, I do, you know, put her at my number one in my list. And then so far it's working for me, and then I believe if all of us, we can do the same, you know, it can work for us. Yes, even when I'm working all those long hours, the little chance that I get, I make sure that I give her a call. I make sure that I do video calls. I make sure that, you know, I keep that contact with her. And
Absolutely.
Then it's working for me. It, I don't even, she does not even realize that I'm not there physically.
Kosi, I trust you heard everything Eugene had to say. Yeah, lovely.
Exactly. I guess, you know, and it is about working at it. And he's talking about being conscious relationship, where you're not taking each other for granted and taking the time for granted, but, you know, always make a point that you make it count when you do have that time.
Thank you so much, as per usual, for your insights this morning, Kosi. Really, really enjoyed this chat. And of course, thanks to Stephen and Eugene for calling in and sharing their experiences with us. We'll do this again next Sunday. Kosi Giane, clinical psychologist. If there's anything you'd like Kosi to tackle in the weeks and months to come, refilwe@702.co.za is the email address.